Good morning. My name is Mike Fisher, and I am the new part-time visitation pastor at your church. And this is my wife over here. She can play the piano a little bit. Get to know her, please, and be nice to us, okay? Take your bulletin out. It's the first time I've done this, so let's do that. We are having a men's prayer breakfast March 21st at 7 a.m. at Perkins Restaurant. This is for all of our men, and we're going to meet there. We're going to eat, share some Bible verses, bring a Bible verse with you to share, and we're going to pray. Is that pretty simple? And join us. Wayne Hensley is going to be leading the first one there, our men's prayer breakfast. We're just starting this up March 21, Saturday. At 7 a.m. at Perkins Restaurant. This Wednesday night, our new pastor is speaking. And he will be speaking there. I do not know what he's going to be speaking on. It says prayer fueled in the Psalms. Very good. You got to be here. And then tonight, he's going to be speaking on Christ-like Christians in a Christless culture. You got to be here. Do you know there's a tendency in our world to quit coming on Sunday night? Now, I don't know anything about this church, but there are churches across the land since I'm new here. And it's going to be good tonight. You do not want to miss it. And then Wednesday night, your kids are all downstairs, and there's going to be more emphasis on prayer, and you got to be with us on that. I miss next Sunday. Go back. Here it is. Next Sunday, Behold the Lamb from John in his John series. Do you know the preacher would love it if you would read John 29 to 35 before you come next Sunday? I've not been here too much, but it would bless your preacher to do that. And that's very, very important there. We have some birthdays here. It's Gina's birthday. Where is she? Jenna. Hello, Luddy Young. I'm new here, so forgive me. Let's give her a hand. Paul Lovelace. I do not see Paul. Y'all need to holler at Paul and them. They're not getting any younger, okay? Of course, I wouldn't know that. I'm just here. And also Dale Miller. Is Dale back there? I don't see him either. And then the Ramirez's. Where? There. How many?
Seven.
Woo! Okay. Very, very good. Very good. We have a presentation right here that is special, and it's about Kyle and Julia's life, and we have their family up here. All the Kyle and Julia's families, raise your hand here. I won't make you stand right here. Come and get to know them all. Here's the Kyle and Julia's family, and they're here for today. And this is Kyle and Julia's life.
He saves are his delight. Christ. Upcoming installation for a believer who God calls to ministry. There is a trust that there is a real reward for endurance in this shepherding of His people. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity, and I will be praying for you and excited for you as you continue to follow after the Lord. And I hope that each of us, at the end of the days that God gives us, we'll be able to enjoy one another's company with gray hair and recounting what God has done for us as we have served.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only
every mountain we will climb, every ray of hope we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace.
Grace alone is God's supplies, strength alone.
Every tear we wipe away.
Well, Kyle, I'd like to congratulate you on this big day there at your home church in Elkhart, Indiana, where Pastor Mike serves. I'm so thankful for you. Your mom and dad, I know, are very proud of you, of your faithfulness to the Lord, and how you have stayed by the stuff since you graduated from Bob Jones University. And so I congratulate you, and may the Lord use you in your life and your testimony as you preach the word, minister, and shepherd to God's people, and then proclaim the gospel there in Elkhart, Indiana. And so God bless you, and congratulations on this great day.
And thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. David had many days of triumph and victory, but this day, I can't help but think, this day must stand out to him as one of the greatest of his life. And so he assembles this great host, this crowd of people who are important, this group of people that David trusts, and he charges them, follow God, seek God, obey God. But he also has an interesting confession to make. He says, there are things that I wanted to do for God that I was not able to do. And so then he turns to his son and says, you take it from here.
Pastor Kyle's dad put that all together, and we thank him for the hard work there. At this time, we have a thing from the youth group. So Pastor Kyle and Julia, if y'all would come up. Ladies, if y'all would come up. You just want to be right here. Come up so everybody can see you.
Okay, so a few months ago, I was trying to think of something that we could give you guys because you guys mean so much to us. And so I decided that I would make a photo album. So we have this, and it does not have only photos but notes from most of the people in the youth group. And we just want to say we appreciate you guys so much. We also have another gift for you, Julia. And we just want to say that we appreciate you so much. And we want to thank you for creating a family.
Amen.
That it won't be the same without you.
Amen. 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 Let's give them a hand. We thank our teenagers, our ministry here, Pastor Kyle. Let me state this to our teenagers. You are not losing a youth pastor, you are gaining a pastor, and then gaining another youth pastor. So you have two youth pastors. That's a deal. That's a deal. And that is exciting. We have some scripture coming up here. Look at the scripture. We're having 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And look at this verse 8 as he's reading it to you. It just says that Pastor Kyle and Julia love y'all people. It's great. Come and read it for us, Paul.
Great stuff. Please stand. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance and unto you that it was not in vain. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. If you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Logan, great verse.
I just want to say, as I got the call to say that I was praying this week, Heidi told me, I think it's a privilege that you get to pray for this specific week about pastors and inauguration. And I think it's really, I mean, what a privilege to serve a church with such great leadership. So just think about those things. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for Kyle and Fisher and these things that you've brought to us, Lord, and these leaderships that you've put in our way and in our heart. I just pray that we can serve them as they serve us, Lord, and that as a church we can work with them and encourage them and strengthen them, Lord, but only true strength comes from you, and I pray that they consistently lean on that as things are to come, Lord, and I just thank you for just the transition and the positions that are being filled and the way that you've worked throughout this so much, Lord, and I just thank you so much for your presence through all of this, and that's how we know it's the right thing. And we just thank you for the searching by the leadership for your presence and your will. And I just pray that we continue to follow that in this church and in the way we do things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks.
We are so thankful, and we look forward to continuing to worshiping the Lord with what he is doing in the lives of our ministries. Our ushers can come forward at this time. I don't think that there's really a moment written into the order of service for us to just say thank you. So I'm going to do that now. When we came, we bragged on everybody that we knew that this was the most welcoming and family-oriented place that we'd ever seen. And then we got to join it and be a part of it. And for 4 years, you have continued to give us your trust and continued to love us in ways that we just... It just keeps building, and something will come up that is necessary, and a need is just met, and people stop in my office just to say they love me, and I can't tell you what a special place this is, and I can't tell you how special it is to us. And so as we continue to have the opportunity to serve together, I look forward to seeing that love grow. Yeah. As we grow in our love for Christ, and as we grow in our love for one another, and God just continues to compound the worship that takes place here. Let's continue to worship him in our giving now. Father, in the lives of local churches, there are days like this, there are sweet times like this, where we remember faithful ministry, and we look forward to relying on you for the continuity of that faithful ministry. There are days of pastoral changes and and newness. But ultimately, even as we said last week, as was such a huge day of celebration for Pastor Fisher and for Ronald Lee, today is another day of worship. There's no human, there's no couple here that are the centerpieces of what's going on. Jesus Christ lifted up. Amen. He is our reason for meeting. Drawing us to yourself through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is the reason for our praise. It's the reason for our gathering. And so, Father, this morning, keeping that in mind, I pray that you would cause us as people and as pastors to look at your word and to sing praises and to recognize the privilege that this is. The privilege that it is to come to a place and meet with other former wretches, but now blood-bought children. And so, God, I pray that you would cause us to encourage one another with these truths, that we would be so overwhelmed with the gospel and that we would be so committed to our love for Christ that you would cause us to impact each other in such a way that that impact spreads. And that even as we're studying these times in John that we'll come to this passage in just a few months, a few weeks, where we hear your heart, that God seeks worshipers, and he's seeking them in the lives of those around us, and he's seeking them in our communities and our neighborhoods. And so, God, I so look forward to the future of this place where we sit in our pews and we look around and we see the worshipers that you have gathered for yourself in this place. And we continue to rejoice in the work of the gospel through the message of the word that goes forth at Grace Bible Church. Father, we thank you so much for everyone who's here. We thank you for dear friends that have come. We thank you for our guys that are back from military school and college and just those who are here together, this family. And Father, throughout this week, as we go back into our places of work, I pray that you would help us to take the gospel with us on our lips and in our lives, and you'd cause us to impact for Christ, for Christ's sake, because he's worth all of our devotion. God, again, we're so thankful for this time. We're thankful for these people. May you make us more like Jesus through this time so that we can serve Jesus better in all of our times. It's in his name we ask and pray these things. Amen.
How to minister to your minister. That is a good line. That's a good line. I have the privilege of charging the church, a charge to the church. I don't know what I'm going to charge you, but this is what it's going to cost you. We're going to have 4 points here, and you got to commit to it. And it is wonderful to be a part of a church and to be a part of this installation and to realize we have a great privilege. But there's 4 things I want you to do as a duty, as a responsibility that you do for your new preacher. Huh? And the first thing you got to do is what? Pray. Okay. First thing we got to do. Now, you don't have to write anything down. I have all of this printed up for you in a sheet, and the ushers are going to give it to you as you go home. So just listen and enjoy, okay? And I probably won't read the text because I only have 10 minutes. And some people don't believe I can speak in 10 minutes. But the first thing we got to commit ourselves is to intercede for our new preacher. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, praying for me. You ever catch that? Pray for me. And Paul was wanting them to pray for him all times in the Spirit, that my mouth may open and the words of God come out and they be from God and I speak them boldly. And we are to be a prayer. We are to pray for our preacher so much and not let it be. We are to be his best prayer warrior. It's easy to say it, but we got to do it. Huh? We got to commit to being his best prayer warrior. And that's thinking about it. That's keeping it. You need, every time he comes to your mind through the day, you need to pray for him. Every time in the night that he comes to your mind. Because he needs your prayers. We got to have God's power. The devil is after this man. Is that right? The devil is after this church, okay? And we got to pray. And we got to realize the devil doesn't care about dead churches, huh? He leaves them alone. But churches that are going for God and preaching the word and standing for truth. This man needs your prayers. A lot of them. Preacher, I commit to being his best prayer warrior. Amen? We commit to that. Secondly, we need to commit to being behind him in supporting him. I got your back. Is that right? I am going to be a person that I will defend you before others. I'll stand with you. I'll partner with you. And though what come, I will be there. I will be your best advocate. I will be your best rock. I will be your best stress reliever. Isn't that a good one? I will be your best endorser. I'm gonna be behind you, supporting you. And that is so important. It says in our text, look at our text here. It says, obey them, submit to them. They watch for your soul. That's your preacher. And they must give an account. Do you realize the preacher is going to give the greater account? I'm going to give an account for the 37 years I've pastored here, times the number of people that I've pastored. I'm going to give an account. That's heavy. That's heavy. And the preacher's got the greater account before God. He's going to stand before God and give an account of his motives, of his effort, of his love, of his compassion, of his zeal, of his evangelism, his discipleship, his preaching, his counsel. Is that right? That's heavy. That's heavy. I love this little part. Now follow his leading. You know, support him, lift him up, back him. Let them do it with what? Joy. Y'all have done that for me. Do it for this man. Do it for this man. Do it for this man. And it's so important that we realize, I got you back, preacher. I am a man who's going to be your best advocate. I'm going to be your rock. I'm going to be your stress reliever. And I got you back. Be your preacher's best supporter. And then thirdly, we need to be in front of our preacher encouraging him. There's nothing like getting out in front of and say, keep going, keep going. Keep going. Be his best cheerleader. Be his best person that keeps on. That in 1 Thessalonians, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. It's all right here. I have all of this written on a piece of paper. So it says, respect him. Hold him in esteem. Is that right? For his work's sake. And then it says this. It says, be at peace. Be at peace. Be at peace. Be a peacemaker. Be positive. Be rejoicing. Be a person of faith. Be a person that's praying. Pray without ceasing. Be a person that is trusting God and giving thanks. And be a person that's holding fast, standing for the gospel, not for what's popular. This man is a Bible preacher, and a Bible preacher today is not popular. And you want a Bible preacher. We called a Bible preacher. This is a Bible church. And we're going to stay Bible. And we have a day that's fleeing from the Bible. We have a culture that's fleeing from the Bible. We have many churches that are fleeing from the Bible. And you want to stay there and be a person that encourages him to hold fast to what is good, to abstain from everything that's evil, and to greet one another with a holy... fist bump, elbow. I seen one this morning. Kick, yeah. Kick. I did Patrick's stomach. Only Patrick and I could do that. There must be brotherhood. Is that right? That's all it's talking about. No, I've been to a church over in Israel, and at the end of it, all the men kissed one another on their cheeks. I'm going, it's not our culture, but we can be brothers and sisters. Is that right? And we're encouraging one another. You need to be a best encourager. You need to be his best cheerleader. You need to text him and his wife, Facebook him, Messenger him. I don't even know what I'm talking about. To encourage him. You can write him little notes. Do y'all need to do that? You need to be this man and this wife, his wife's best encourager. Huh? It's easy to criticize, huh? It's easy. And this guy gets more, and I've gotten more than y'all ever know. And it's great to have someone to just encourage us. Well, we need to keep our preacher humble. The devil's out there keeping your preacher humble. And this man's a humble man. Don't ever. He's confident, but he's a humble man. And that's very, very important that we need that. He's their encourager. And lastly, we need to come alongside and serve with him. To come alongside and be his best helper. And you realize, wow, we need to volunteer. We need to lighten his load. Do y'all know for the next 4 months, he's going to be youth pastor and pastor? Do y'all know that? You know, our youth pastor is not going to get here till the 1st of June. Y'all know that? Okay, youth pastor. And so he's going to be, and his old pastor is leaving him for 7 weeks. Okay, he's going to need your help, your assistance. Walk up and ask him, how can I lighten your load? What can I do? He needs your prayer. He needs your support. He needs your encouragement. But he needs you to serve alongside with him, to volunteer, to be informed of his vision and his goals and move in those directions. Just like I said, he's preaching through the book of John. You read the book of John before you come next Sunday. What is it? Chapter 1, verses? I never know either. 29 to something, okay? If it's in the bulletin, do it. Do you know we put stuff in the bulletin and it's just not to take ink? And we print the text that we're having for next Sunday? Read them. Come on. If you read the text that's in the bulletin for next Sunday, I guarantee that next Sunday's sermon will be better. And then we're doing it on Wednesday night and all that. And you come, you know, be here. It's wonderful to do that. You know, participate, be involved. Be his eyes and ears. Help him not miss people that are in need. Somebody's in need. Somebody's going to hospital or somebody's sick. Call him. Text him. Let him know. Let him know. It's very, very important to get ideas. You see something maybe needs to be done. Give him an idea. Serve alongside with him. Be his best helper. Be Team Jesus with him. Is that right? Let me state this and I'm quitting. Easter's coming. As he said, Patrick said, 5 weeks Easter. Easter is on April the 12th. It's in 5 weeks. It's going to be a great service. He's talked with me his service. He is singing my favorite song. It's called "It He Is." You're going to love it. You're going to love it. You need to invite somebody. No. You need to bring somebody. Every person here needs to bring somebody with them for Easter. We have a day when the coronavirus is everywhere and everybody's scared to death. I want you to know people are needing some spiritual help today. They're scared. Easter's coming, folks. People come to church for Easter. I want you to commit yourself to minister to your minister that you are going to bring a person or a family with you to Easter service this coming month. Amen? Preacher, yes, you can if I can find people. I've got two neighbors I'm working on, and I'm getting real close to them, and it's pretty neat. And people, commit yourself to pray for him. Is that right? To support him, to encourage him, and to serve alongside of him, and commit to bring somebody with you this Easter, or I'm going to come back and haunt you. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're the church, and you've called us to support our preacher. And Lord, you've given us a great Bible preacher. And Lord, help each of us to be his best prayer warrior, to be his best supporter, to be his best encourager, cheerleader, and to be his best helper. Lord, build your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor Kyle's going to come and introduce our speaker.
Go get it. We really have a rare opportunity this morning for Grace Bible Church, and that is to have someone tall in the pulpit. Carrie McGonigal is with us, Dr. Carrie McGonigal from Bob Jones University. He was my pulpit speech teacher, so you can either thank him or blame him, all right? He's not just my teacher, he's a good friend, and I love spending time with Dr. McGonigal. We talk shop, we talk about church, we talk about preaching. I could talk about him, I talk with him about things that most people just really don't care about. Nerdy things about preaching craft, and all of that stuff. So he's a dear friend, but he's one of the best preachers I know. He handles the word so carefully, and he taught me my philosophy of how to handle the word. And so when I was thinking about today, I couldn't think of someone that I would like you to hear more who's been instrumental in my preaching ministry than Dr. Carrie McGonigal. So brother, why don't you come on up?
Even as a student, Kyle manifested a maturity, a heart for really a pastoral heart, which is unusual to see in undergrad guys. And so it's not, in one sense, it's not surprising for me to see him in this place at this age. And yet he would attribute that, as we should, to the grace of God in his life and to a wonderful family and just God's kindness in bringing him here to this place. It's such a sweet congregation, and it's been an encouragement to get to know you in just these few hours together. This is a little unusual because essentially what I'm going to do is preach a message to Kyle. So you guys get to listen in on this charge. So it's kind of like a wedding where you go to a wedding and a charge is given to the bride and groom and you just kind of get to listen in. But I think this will help you do what Pastor Fisher was talking about. This will help you to pray for your pastor. This will help you to know what specifically to pray for. So we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning for a few minutes together. So if you would turn there under the title Shepherd the Flock. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 1, Peter says, "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder." So Peter is exhorting these elders, these pastors, and he's doing so in the context of suffering. That's where the word "so" or "therefore" points back to the preceding verses and their suffering, their persecution, verse 19 of chapter 4. They were suffering as the household of God, verse 17. So there's a sense in which, under duress and stress, there's this need for being reminded of what it is that a pastor is supposed to be doing. But I want to target and kind of zero in on the sympathy that Peter expresses as he exhorts these elders. He's exhorting them as a sympathetic co-laborer. He says, a fellow elder. That's how he describes himself, a fellow elder. He could have said apostle, but he calls himself a fellow pastor, a fellow witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a fellow partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. So, Kyle, I make this charge as a sympathetic co-laborer, as a pastor myself, understanding some of the challenges of this role, but also some of the blessings and delights. And I just want to try to answer the question, what is the primary responsibility? What is the primary duty of a pastor? And Peter makes this very clear. So I have a series of five exhortations that I'm going to make to Kyle, five charges from this text of Scripture. And the first one is to shepherd the flock of God. That is your mission. Verse 2, here's the heart of Peter's exhortation to the elders. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So if you're thinking about your role as you become the pastor, lead pastor of Grace Bible Church, you should think of it in these terms, shepherding the flock. And it's not really surprising that Peter would use this language. You think about the end of John's gospel after Jesus' resurrection, when he restores Peter to ministry, and three times he tells Peter to do what? Feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. So it's not surprising that when Peter has an opportunity to exhort these pastors, he would echo those words of Jesus, pastor the flock, shepherd the flock. To shepherd the flock is to lead the flock, to guide the flock. It means, as verse 2 says, to exercise oversight, to watch over the sheep. In fact, that's how we know the elders referred to here are not just older men in the church. These are men who have an official capacity. They've been given this responsibility to exercise oversight. I want to point out, though, I want you to notice that the flock that you shepherd isn't your flock, isn't your own flock. Notice how Peter describes it. This is the flock of God. The church is the flock of God. And that's why Jesus is described in verse 4 as the what? As the chief shepherd. You could translate that chief, senior, shepherd, pastor. Who's the senior pastor of Grace Bible Church? Like, from this passage, Jesus is the senior pastor. And so it's important that as pastors we remind ourselves that in the truest sense, we are under shepherds. We are shepherding underneath the guidance and the directives of our senior pastor, Jesus Christ. But there is also a sense in which it is your flock, because Peter says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. It's your portion of the flock of God. It's the portion that God has allotted to you. So you are being installed today as the pastor of Grace Bible Church. You are not being installed as the pastor of all churches in Elkhart, Indiana, thankfully. You're not being appointed to pastor any other church but this one. You're not even being called to pastor some kind of future ideal version of Grace Bible Church. You're called to pastor the church as it currently is, this sweet group of people. So let me encourage you to do whatever you do to preach, to minister in ways that will edify and strengthen this body of believers. This is your focus. This is your responsibility. This is your stewardship. So what does it look like to shepherd a flock? What does it look like to shepherd a flock? And that leads me to my second exhortation, to shepherd after the example or pattern of Christ. When I was a kid, I loved baseball, so I would study baseball players and study their swings to the point where I would actually record their games, and then I would play it back in slow motion. So there were certain batters that I would watch in slow motion, and I'd just study everything about their swing so that I could replicate that, hopefully, on the diamond. Let me encourage you to study Jesus Christ, to study him in slow motion. To look at his life, to look at the way he himself shepherds. Look at the chief shepherd. Learn from his example. Christ is not only described as the chief shepherd, he's also described as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. I know you have, you're working your way through John's gospel. It's going to be a wonderful study in that chapter. because that chapter paints a portrait of a good pastor, a good shepherd. And it tells us that Jesus shepherds the flock by name. So if you were looking at John chapter 10, verse 3, it says he calls his own sheep by name. So there's a really tender, relational component to the pastoring of Jesus. Work your way through the membership directory. When you look at those faces, understand who these people are and what their needs are. And obviously there's only so much bandwidth you have, but to the best of your ability, know the flock. Know the people that are part of Grace Bible Church. And really endeavor to develop that relational ministry. Secondly, he shepherds the flock for good. Verses 10 and 11, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So the thief, he's there for entirely selfish purposes. The hired hand in verse 13 cares nothing for the sheep. He's only interested in wages, not sheep. But Jesus is interested in the sheep, and he's interested in the welfare of the sheep, and he wants to benefit the sheep. He wants to see the sheep flourish. He wants them to have life and have it abundantly. He's kind, he's big-hearted, he's generous toward the sheep. So in your ministry here at Grace Bible, let me encourage you to minister for the good and benefit of this body. In fact, so much so that number three, we see that he shepherds the flock to death. Now, that doesn't mean the church dies. he dies. The shepherd dies. He shepherds the flock to death. In other words, he's so interested in their welfare that he's willing to lay down his own life for their good. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. It's one of the seven I am statements in John's gospel. He's good in the sense that he's attractive, he's beautiful. And what makes Jesus so beautiful, so compelling as a person? Well, he says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So a good shepherd, a good pastor, is going to die to himself. He's going to have to die to ambition, die to his own agenda, die to his own preferences for the sake of the sheep. What is it that you're going to have to die to in order that this church would flourish? And he does it voluntarily. That's what's so beautiful about this passage of Scripture. Verses 17 and 18, for this reason the Father loves me, Jesus says. Listen to that. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. Willing, eager, voluntarily. And Jesus' example also teaches us that the cross comes before the crown, that suffering comes before glory. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter identifies himself in verse 1 as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed in the future. So that's why he reminds these pastors in verse 5 that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Future tense. But right now the context is suffering. Right now the context is the cross that you take up and bear willingly and eagerly for the sake of these sheep for whom Jesus died. And we see also, really, that points us to the fact that he shepherds the flock by deed. He shepherds the flock by his own example. He illustrates what it looks like to be a pastor this way. In fact, in just a few chapters, John chapter 13, he's going to demonstrate his love and his humility by getting down and washing the disciples' feet. What a powerful demonstration of this mindset, this mind of Jesus that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2. As Paul tells young Timothy, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. But the primary means of leadership that is highlighted in John chapter 10 is actually the voice of Jesus, the words of Jesus. Jesus leads the flock by means of his voice. And you see that, for example, in chapter 10, verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them by his voice. What a beautiful picture. I'll come back to that moment, that idea in a moment. So how would you summarize the good pastor of John chapter 10? Well, he humbly and willingly leads his flock by deed, by example, and by word for their good, even at the cost of their own life. It's like the two brothers who were out playing one night and they didn't come back at dinner time, and the family became concerned, and so they sent out a search party to try to find these boys, and they actually came across them in a sand dune, and they saw the younger brother's head sticking up above the sand dune, and they couldn't find the older brother until they dug away at the sand and they found him underneath the sand holding his brother up above. He had given his life so that his brother could live. He was willing to die so that his brother could live. That really is a beautiful picture of what it's like to be a pastor, to be a shepherd. That you are willing to die to yourself, die to whatever it is that needs to go in order for this church to prosper, in order for these people to be strengthened and encouraged and to grow. That's what a good pastor does. So it's not surprising that Peter captures the manner in which a pastor is to shepherd the flock the way he does back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Text says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight." And now he describes in a series of several descriptions what that oversight is to look like. How are they to do this? Not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, like a hired hand, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock, right? That sounds a lot like who? That sounds a lot like Jesus. That sounds a lot like the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10, doesn't it? And in fact, humility really is the heart of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. As Peter goes on to address the congregation and the elders, look at verse 5. He says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another." Right? So whether you're an elder or pastor or one of the somebody in the congregation, the key to this relationship working is humility. And that humility is exemplified in Jesus Christ and his mindset. As a sheep who has been appointed to serve as an under-shepherd. So you got to remember, first of all, you're a sheep, right? You're under the care of Jesus, who is your pastor. You are to serve as an under-shepherd, and you must let Christ, the chief shepherd, shepherd you and this church through his voice, through his word. And so my third exhortation, my third charge to you would be to shepherd with the word of Christ. So you shepherd the flock, you shepherd after the example of Christ, and you shepherd with the word of Christ. This is your method. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You're feeding the flock with the word. And that's going to result in the maturity of this body. You understand that what this body needs, what this church needs to flourish and to grow is the word of Jesus Christ. As you know, we have a horse farm in South Carolina, and I feel like most of our day is preoccupied with feeding horses. Like, it's just constant, nonstop. That's our concern. Feed the horses, morning, noon, night, and then clean up after them, afterwards. Pay somebody to feed them, pay somebody to clean it up. Feed the flock with the word. Feed your own soul. Feed your own. Be a first partaker of the fruits. And nourish your own heart in the word, as we talked about yesterday. And your own family in the scriptures. And then prioritize the voice of Jesus among this congregation. And number two, lead the flock with the word. So feed the flock with the word, lead the flock with the word, and that brings clarity. Let me encourage you to really set a clear biblical vision. I was encouraged to see your sign and see you have a vision for 2020 and has something to do with love. That's the way a pastor leads. He sets a vision for the people that comes out of the scriptures. This is the voice of Jesus, the chief shepherd, actually pastoring this church through means of an under-shepherd who is sensitive, who's also hearing that voice and communicating it to the church. And then thirdly, to focus the flock with the word. Focus the flock with the word. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he may powerfully work within me. So it's not just the voice of Jesus that's being presented, it's Jesus himself. Jesus is the content of our proclamation. He's the centerpiece of any healthy church. And I want to encourage you to make much of Christ. Lift Christ up and let these dear people enjoy the wonderful benefits that flow from a Christ-centered, Christ-saturated ministry of the Word. And then guard the flock with the word. One of the chief responsibilities of an elder or pastor in the New Testament really is to protect the flock, to provide for purity doctrinally, and to provide for their safety, just like a shepherd would do with the sheep. So you are to watch over and warn. Titus chapter 1 verse 9 says, an overseer must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also be able to rebuke those who contradict it. And that's not always a pleasant task, but that's a necessary task if this church is really to flourish and to thrive. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, and so on. And then in verse 13 of chapter 3, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, he says to Timothy, you, verse 14, must continue in the things that you have learned. You, chapter 4, verse 2, must preach the word. In every season, whether it's a good time or whether it's not so good time. And you're going to have to convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Why? Because verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come when they will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned aside to fables. But you, verse 5, he keeps making this contrast. It is your privilege and responsibility to watch over this flock and to preserve the integrity of the doctrine, the purity of the doctrine as it's centered on Christ. And if you do this, you will be faithful and therefore successful. So my fourth exhortation to you based on verse 4 is to shepherd for the approval of Christ. There's a wonderful motivation that Peter gives to these elders in verse 4 when he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. So remember, it's the cross and then the crown. It's suffering and then it's glory. When the chief shepherd appears, and Pastor Fisher already alluded to this, there is a great accounting that is ours. And there's a weight to that. I remember the first time I entered the pulpit, having become the pastor of our church, and I felt the weight of that, the responsibility of that. I was the same person, but I felt different. I felt the pressure of that. So I want to end this way. I want to end with some encouragement, because I always feel like, you know, when you give pastors that biblical admonition, the biblical exhortations, it's just kind of like loading them up with all this responsibility. It's like, I can't do this, right? Like how in the world are you going to do this? You know your sheep personally, feed them with the word, protect them, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your family, take care of all of these sheep. It really is impossible in and of yourself. It's like at the farm, when you first moved to the farm, I didn't have a tractor. So when we had to put in posts, I had to dig those by hand. So I had a shovel. And I was trying to get through that hard, compacted South Carolina red clay and the limestone underneath. And there were times just like, I cannot dig this hole any further. Like, I just can't do this. And then in God's great blessing, I got a John Deere tractor. Amen. Now, I love God, I love my wife, I love my children, and then I love my John Deere tractor. And when I bought the tractor, it came with some augers, which are like, you know, really big screws that you put in the ground. And I can back up to a place and in a matter of 20 seconds have a really nice hole drilled because of the power of that machine. That tractor allows me to do things I could never, ever do by hand. And by God's grace and by God's Spirit, you will be able to do things that you never dreamed you could do or would be capable of doing in and of yourself.
Amen.
But you can be faithful and you can persevere and you can love this flock by the grace of God. So my fifth exhortation is shepherd by the grace of Christ. And remember, part of that grace in this passage is the fact that you're not the only one who cares for this church, right? Verse seven. Your God cares for you, right? You have a God who cares for you. And so in your anxieties, you can turn those anxieties over to God, for he cares for you. But you also have an adversary who wants to devour you. So you have a God who cares for you, but you have an adversary who wants to devour you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So you're not up against flesh and blood. And you got to remind yourself when you're in the thick of things that it's not primarily flesh and blood that you're up against. You're up against principalities and powers. Peter knew this well, didn't he? Peter knew what it was to be sifted like wheat. But thankfully, Jesus had prayed for him.
Amen.
And Jesus prays for you.
Amen.
And if the church listens to Pastor Fisher, they're going to pray for you too. You have a God who cares for you. And a God who's described in verses 9 and 10 of 1 Peter 5 as the God of all grace. Isn't that awesome? The God of all grace, he says, resist your adversary firm in the faith, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore. I mean, think about Peter writing that. The God of all grace will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And it will be, in the end, all to his glory. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I want to end with this summary. Kyle, the chief shepherd has appointed you to oversee his flock here at Grace Bible Church. Okay? Shepherd the flock that is among you. This is your allotment. This is your portion. And do so by imitating his eager, humble, benevolent, and sacrificial care for the sheep. So as you minister and model the word, remember that Christ's pattern is suffering. That his reward is glory. That his approval is success.
Amen.
And his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
This is the true grace of God, brother. Stand firm in it. And may the God of all grace strengthen and establish you in the work here at Grace Bible.
All the our deacons and some of the men, come on, the fathers here, and Kyle and Julia, if y'all will be here. Privileged as a church, privileged to have this responsibility of calling a new lead pastor. Amen? And God has given this, and we are installing them officially today, and I want you to pray for them. It's your job. And this is, you know, many churches never get to see this, experience this. We wanted all the children to experience it. We want the teenagers.
This is a thing of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Why don't we spread out a little bit so the people in the sides can see there. If y'all can't see, get there. Wayne's going to pray. And then our brother's going to pray over here. Wayne, if you'll give it to him to pray. Let's reach in. Let's reach in. Let's all touch their shoulders here, please. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, Patrick. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Yep. Yep. Pray for us, Wayne.
Our Lord God, it is with thanksgiving that we gather today. We as a congregation sought the will of the Holy Spirit of God. And you faithfully revealed your will to us. You've made it known that this man, that this couple are to be here as the under-shepherds of this flock at Grace Bible Church. We overwhelmingly knew the voice of God in
Amen.
This decision. Lord, we cannot thank you enough for this gift of this godly couple that you've brought to oversee this flock at Grace Bible Church. You prepared them. You've called them. You've made them willing to step out and say, send me.
Amen.
I will do this. And so God, as a congregation, we today ask that you would indeed help us to be faithful to pray for them.
Amen.
To support them, to encourage them, to serve alongside them. Lord, help us to love them as you've called them to love us. And then we, as a congregation, will be successful in doing the work of Christ. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, this church is made up of people for whom you died. This is a precious place, and this is a precious time for you and for this body of believers. We thank you for the privilege of being able to serve under such a gracious and kind shepherd who leads us into green pastures, who faithfully takes care of us. And we thank you that in your wisdom you have designed it to be where this beloved church, the church that you are building, is led and overseen by appointed and gifted people. And we thank you for your providence and leadership in Kyle's life and in his family's life as you have brought them to this place. And we believe that you will sustain them in the work, that your grace really is sufficient. And I pray that you would sustain them each day with joy, joy in ministry, joy in seeing the word at work. Lord, give them a patient spirit. Help them to know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, because your power is great. There's a great mission and a great ministry here in this place and in this neighborhood. And I pray that this church would flourish under the preaching and the ministry of the word to the point where the gospel is running and being glorified in Elkhart, Indiana and beyond.
Amen.
Lord, that you would raise up people from this assembly underneath the Christ-centered preaching of the word that would take up the mantle and carry the gospel beyond this place to the ends of the earth. And I pray that you would encourage Kyle and Julia in the work that you're calling them to do. Lord, give them encouragement each day as they perhaps look at their own insufficiency, as they consider their own struggles and the call to pastor a flock like this. I pray that you would encourage them with your grace, encourage them with your sufficiency, help them to know their standing before you is because of Christ and his righteousness and not based on their performance. And I pray that this church would do just as they were encouraged to do. This would be a beautiful place, a
Amen.
A counter countercultural community that just radiates your presence and your love to people who come. And they would know that these, this dear family, the Grant family, is our humble servants of God Most High. And we pray this for your glory. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we give Kyle and Julia to you. Lord, you have given them to us, and we are privileged and thrilled to see the miracle of God in this place. Lord, we expect it to continue. Lord, thank you for the miracle of bringing the Weldons to us. Lord, just bless this church. Lord, you are here. We are here. And we are begging God to be here with us every time we meet. And God, you show yourself. And Lord, bless Easter, bless our vacation Bible school, bless our corn meetings coming up, and bless every Sunday morning, every Sunday school, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Bible study. God, you be here, you be here. Lord, bless Grace Bible Church. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give a cheer.
Amen. Pastor Kyle, come up, please.
We have a plaque here for Pastor Kyle. It's been installed today. It says on Sunday, March the 8th, Pastor Kyle Paul Grant was installed as the lead pastor of Grace Bible Church. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We love you too, baby. Lord, do it
without you.
Amen. You're the best.
I love this guy so much, I wore his socks.
Ephesians chapter 4, within a context of the work of Christ and his continued work through the Spirit and the growth in our lives, he says to the church, he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. He gave us to you and you to us.
Amen.
Let's get to work.
Amen.
Our Father, you are so kind. You're so kind to allow us to know these people and us to serve these people. And God, I ask for your strength. Give us grace as we work together to do the work of the ministry. And to him who is able to strengthen us according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages but has now been disclosed through the writings, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of the faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Amen.